All right, be truthful now. How many here forgot about the time change? Raise your hand. Okay, we have a few. I almost forgot it. I tell you, I like this time change. You get an extra hour. That's great. That's great. Well, we are probably at the end of our series. This is part five of the focus of faith. And we've been talking about when Jesus gave the model of prayer, the first thing he did was praise the Father. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praised his name. And then the first request was for his kingdom, God's kingdom come. His will be done on earth. And we talked about how sometimes when we think on earth, we're thinking all the people that need it except me. But it includes, first of all, us. So the very first thing he said to pray for, to ask for, you don't ask if you don't need it, to ask for was for God to help you live out his will for you in your life. You know, we have long lists of things we pray for. The bigger your family, the more you pray. You know, I mean, how much of our time is spent praying for family members that have either walked away from God or don't know the Lord or are having struggles financially or physically or spiritually, whatever it is. But we do that, and God instructed us to pray, have that attitude, pray without ceasing. But if you take how much you pray for all these different things and then compare it to how much you actually ask God every day, Lord, help me do your will. You might be a little bit out of balance. And the other scripture is seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added to you. So, in other words, the order of prayer and in our time with the Lord, we need to spend some time saying, Lord, I need your help to do your will. And so, in doing that, you're going to stop and think, well, God, where in my life am I not doing your will? What am I not doing that I need your help in? Or what do I need to be doing more that I'm not doing enough? Or, Lord, I just need your help. I'm sick of doing what I want to do all the time, and I've been frustrated enough with that. I want your will be done in my life. And you know, it's amazing we don't really spend much time praying for that, when really that is the number one thing. Is if we're living in God's will, guess what? You're going to be praying for the right things. You're going to be praying more. You're going to be doing more. You're going to actually enjoy your life more, because in his presence is fullness of joy. So we've said that is the focus of our faith. First of all, God, you put me on earth for some reason. God does everything for a reason. And you put me here, so Lord, I need to know what you want me to do. Now we know, okay, we're supposed to love God and love our neighbor, and we can glibly say that and then not even really get that. But love is shown. So how are you going to live out God's love? How are you going to walk in his love? How are you going to simply, in the big picture of God, where is your part working as part of his body, where he's working all things together for good? And that's where we need help. God said, Jesus said, if you ask, you shall receive. And so the very first part of that prayer that we go past so often is, Lord, I just need help in doing your will. And that's where we take sometimes a little inventory and say, okay, well, God, what am I doing well? And I need to make sure that I'm doing that, but where am I lacking, Lord? And I need your help for that. So today I actually want to begin with the article in the bulletin. If you did not get a bulletin, raise your hand, and we have couple ushers walking down the aisles. They will give you one. Need one? Raise your hand. I don't see any hands going up. I guess you guys gave them out. That's great. Okay, I'm going to read the article here. The focus of our faith, part five. Jesus is the answer for all that troubles the world today. He is God who became human, purposing to seek and save the lost, including all of us who were far away from God and His good ways. Sin turns away from God's life, thus it brings death. For all who call on His name, Jesus died paying our debt of death. He traded His human life for our human lives. He rose from the dead, giving us resurrection power far beyond anything this world could supply. The focus of our faith needs to place Jesus and His work on the cross, first in our daily living. We do this through Christ who strengthens us. Out of all of our needs, our greatest need is to carry out God's personal plan for each of our lives. When we pray for His will to be done, we do two things. First, we ask for His help to do God's will. And it's His will for us to ask. Second, we state our desire to actually do what He wants us to do. Being a trinity of parts ourselves, spirit, soul, and body, our soul is in the middle, ready to receive influence either from God's spirit that is joined to our spirit or from our carnal nature inspired by the evil one. The natural thing to do is walk in the flesh and never change. But God has called us to walk supernaturally with Him, where all things are possible. This needs to be the focus of our faith in God, the sovereign Lord of all. Psalm 121, verses 1 through 3 in the New Living Translation says it this way, "I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let you stumble. The one who watches over you will not slumber." May we all focus on Jesus, who is the author and finisher of our faith. He will never leave us or forsake us. The faith that God gives us resides in, it lives in the very center of us, the very core of our being, in our heart. It's something that has more power and more reason for action in us than anything else. You'll find that in your life, opposites in God's kingdom, it's love, and the devil's kingdom, it's hate. Both can motivate into action, but love always is greater. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. No greater love can a person have than He give His life for His friends. The love that God has for each of us is greater than the devil's hatred that's always trying to bring us down. So God's faith is resident right inside us. How much faith we have really affects life's reality. I'm going to get down to a very basic thing here, and I pray that our ears will be open to hear what the Spirit of God wants to say today. You could write it off as I already know this, but believe me, you know, when God gives me something, I'm going, wow, this is something else. I could have just, well, yeah, I've heard that before. God's mercies are new every morning. His revelations are continuous. You'll never get to the end of the knowledge of God. And so I'm going to talk about life's reality. Faith affects the reality where you live, and it gives you the possibility of change. Without faith, it's just the way it is. It can never change. But faith which connects you to God's power, gives you that possibility. With God, all things are possible. What is real to you? Not just imaginary, but what is real to you begins with what you see, what you experience. Then enters faith, which God's word describes as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So our knowledge of reality is we see this. This is the way people are. This is the way my life is. This is where I live. This is where I go to church. This is where I work. It's what I see. This is our reality. This is the car I drive. It begins with that, but faith takes you into the place where you have a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith always gives you hope. Because, see, God who created everything, that's why all things are possible with Him. And when you lose faith, you lose hope, and now you're stuck in the reality of only the things that you can see and understand. And God wants us to come up way up higher than normal human understanding, up into the realm of His wisdom and how He sees things. Back to the word reality. If you go to school, you're taught the reality that everything came into existence by chance. Chance evolution. Everything. We talk about billions of galaxies, billions of stars within our own galaxies. We talk about trillions of cells and all the components of your body. All by chance. And that is science. And if you don't believe that, you're just ignorant and stupid. Anybody that really has fallen for that is so far from the truth that you stand amazed when you see and understand what they're talking about. You know, if you took all the blood vessels in your body, all the capillaries and all that, and you laid them out in a string in your body, how long do you think it would stretch? A mile? 2 miles? 60,000 miles. Try to wire anything with 60,000 miles by evolution or by chance. When you understand that God created everything, and because He's this awesome God, it kind of changes. Well, I'm just going to go do my own thing. Are you kidding me? Look at this God that we serve. And this God, I'm actually His idea. He created me, and He loves me with a love I'll never get to the end of. You see, where there's a design, there has to be a designer. Complete disorder and confusion can never make something out of a design. Could never design the super complexity of all of our universes, all of the stars, the sun, all of the elements, all the atoms that make that up. It's impossible. And yet, we're teaching our children and we're indoctrinated in that. And let me tell you something. Don't think it's by chance. There's another power at work. And it's the same lying spirit that's working in socialism and all of that that's going on right now. It's the same spirit of Antichrist. We're in the last days, and I'm not going to be talking about that today, but it all is part of that. I often say, as Bob Dylan says, you got to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to serve one of them. One or the other. You're either in light or you're in darkness. Think of the complexity of the plant life and all the different bugs, the insects, and all of the all of the animals, all the way they're so different, how a bird can fly and all these different things and the complexities of our bodies. Unintelligence, by definition, is not intelligent enough to create something in order. Can't happen. Well, why are we talking about reality? Well, because if the answer is the creation was by God, then all the answers to our questions must come from God, the Creator. Or if not, it's just lady luck. Are you lucky today? Where chance rules our life. It's either God or the world system telling you, there's no God, you're just a chance. You're just here by chance. And therefore, the way you are is not your fault. You're born that way. Of course, you can't tell that to the IRS and say, I was born not to pay taxes. It only works in the minds of people that want to control you. Even God says, I'll give you choice. You can let me control you, or you can just go your own way, and you're gonna have something else controlling you. But at least God gives us choice. The communistic, socialistic whole thing takes choice away from you that God gave you. Jesus Christ is the creator of all things. He is God Almighty. And of course, He's revealed to us the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But whenever you talk about Jesus, you're including the Father and the Holy Spirit because they're all one, yet three. Even the English word G-O-D is three letters making one God. Acknowledging God is so powerful, it will radically change people's lives. So, we're going to go to the most, probably one of the most referred to scriptures I go to, because I never can get to the end of it. I've had more revelation from this scripture in the last 3 months than I think I've ever had. And so I want to give this disclaimer before we look at the scripture. When you think you have reached the end of God's revelation from a certain scripture, you begin a time of self-reliance and pride. Oh, I know John 3:16. Oh, I know Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you really know what that means? I can do all things? Sometimes we have to go, and it's very important to meditate on God's word. And just take a scripture and just say, okay, God, what am I missing out of this? Because every word is there for a purpose. Okay, well, here we go. Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You're talking about God creating all of the heavens. That includes all the atmosphere. That includes the second heaven and the third heaven, the atmospheric realm and the kingdom of God. When you understand that He is in the beginning and that He is the creator, it makes all the difference in the world than believing everything just came out of some kind of big bang that happened and you're just a chance, and therefore, you know, you just hope that luck is on your side so you can have a halfway decent life. You're denying the Lord. You say, well, I can't see Him. Yeah, because He's not part of the creation. But may I say something? God is defined in His own word. One of the definitions is God is love. Have you ever experienced love? Have you ever loved? Can you see it? You can see it in action. But can you see it? No. You can see God in action. Can you really see Him? These eyes were not designed to see the Spirit. He designed spiritual eyes within our spirit to be able to see him. That's why Jesus told the Pharisees, he says, you have eyes, physical eyes, but you can't see who's standing right in front of you. Okay, well, let's look at a few more of these scriptures. Very important. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, and then 14. New Living Translation. You'll never get to the end of this. In the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. You know, I am me. I'm not with me. I'm me. But the Word was with God and God. Always in the New Testament, and mostly in the Old Testament, when you're talking about God, you're talking about God the Father. When you talk about Lord, mostly it's Jesus. In the beginning, and of course, God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, let us make man in our image. Elohim, the word for God, is the plural of El, which is God. So there's a plural, yet a oneness of God. Okay, the Word was with God, the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything, how? Through him. Who are they talking about? Jesus. Well, you don't need Jesus to get to heaven. What? Well, you don't need God to go where God is. It's what that's saying. See, God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. That's why he said, if you ask in my name, I think he has authority over this creation, over reality, physical reality and spiritual reality. The Word gave life to everything that was created. Your Savior is the one who gave you life. How real is he? And his life brought light to everyone. What does light do? It reveals. He is. He said, I came to show you the Father. And then it defines it in verse 14. So the Word became human. Or in King James it would say flesh. It's human. And made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Then Colossians 1, verses 15 through 20. We're reading all these out of the New Living Translation. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything and before anything was created and is supreme over all creation. Who has the final say-so? Jesus. The Father gave him authority over it all. For through him, through Christ, through your Savior, through the one that we're singing about, God created everything. How serious is it to follow Jesus? Oh, he's just another man. He's just another one. I don't think anybody else was in the beginning with God. Through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things we can see and the things we can't, such as thrones, kingdoms, and rulers, and authorities in the unseen world, all the spirit. Everything was created through him and for him. You were created for Jesus. Remember we read in my article there, sin misses the life of God. That's why the wages of sin is death. So every time you've sinned, you've brought death. And death, first of all, is spiritual death. It's separation from the life of God. That's why Jesus had to come and die for you. Because you have a choice. If you have choice, that means you have to get what you choose. He got what we chose. He got the death in our place. That's why you're a new creation. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Because Christ in you is the hope of glory. Is we can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We walk around like we have no power, like we can't change anything. Nothing ever is going to happen. We're just an unlucky day. When we're a child of God Almighty. Everything was created through Him and for Him. He existed before anything else. And He holds all creation together. Including the atom. But they can't figure out how that thing's held together. Christ is also the head of the church, which is His body. That's you. He is the beginning, supreme over all who rise from the dead. So He is first in everything. First thing we need to pray for, the first focus of our faith is, oh God, help. Am I really following You like You want? Lord, help me. Help me, Lord. For God in all His fullness was pleased to live in Christ. The word Christ, Christos, is Messiah, the anointed one. The Word that became human. God who became Emmanuel, God with us. As a man, He had a beginning when He was born, but He's always God. And through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. You can't get any more powerful than God doing something like reconciling us to ourselves. We can't do it. Oh, I'm going to make all my deeds better than my bad deeds, all my good deeds. That's going to do it. You know, I've heard somebody quote this. It's every religion has do, do, do. In Christianity, it has done. If you receive Him and walk with Him. Through Him, God reconciled everything to Himself. He made peace with everything in heaven and on earth by means of Christ's blood on the cross. Why the blood? Because you can't cover sin without the shedding of blood. His life, an innocent life, had to be given for the one who was guilty. That's when they instituted the animal sacrifice, an innocent life had to be given. Now the one who never sinned became human and gave His life and took our death upon Himself and gave us eternal life with Him. How important is it that we follow Jesus? Is that enough? No. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 4, New Living Translation. Long ago, God spoke many times and in many ways to our ancestors through the prophets. And now in these final days, He has spoken to us through His Son. God promised everything to the Son as an inheritance. God promised everything to His Son as an inheritance, and through the Son, He created the universe. I heard Ravi Zacharias say this. It's one of the most incredible statements. I've used it before. You can learn a lot by listening to Ravi Zacharias. The guy's a genius. He's a wonderful man of God, but he's an absolute genius. Evidence of the Trinity. God is love. Love requires an object. Before anything was created, God. If He only had one, love was not possible. The love between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is incredible. That's why Jesus was sweating drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Father, if there's any other way, let this cup pass from Me. And why He said on the cross, my God, why hast Thou forsaken Me? Because He was separated as our sin was put upon him. Sin separates us from God. He was separated from his Father for the very first time in all existence. Even to the point to where darkness came over the earth. What he did for us is way beyond the physical pain of that crucifixion was being separated. Why have you forsaken me? And another little point is, he always referred to God as his Father, as the Son of God. He referred to him as Father. On the cross was the first time he referred to him as God, because now he was mankind. He was human, taking our sins and referred to him as God. How important is Jesus in our life? Well, verse 3 says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God and sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. Woo! Yeah, it is. There is power in the name of Jesus. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down at the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Sat down at the right hand. He's with God and he's God. Some people, you know, they say, well, there's only one, it's just Jesus only. Well, how can you sit back? I guess he's beside himself. This shows that the Son is far greater than the angels, just as the name God gave him is greater than their names. Later on in that chapter, he'll talk about, you know, what of the angels has he ever said? None of the angels, we were told to worship him. But Jesus, we were told to worship him. Okay, so the focus of our faith is really on what God has done. Got to move here. We're going to have communion. Since he created everything, he has the final say over everything. By his word, all things existed. By his word, all things were created. But the world tells us we need to change his world or his word. The world tells us we need to change his word to fit the world. When his word created the world, everything's upside down. God's word will change us if we will humble ourselves enough to listen and follow God's direction for us. It is God who works all things together for good. It certainly is not humans doing it. Just look at our history. We desperately needed God. God, knowing this, made his help available through a God-secured covenant. Covenant, an agreement that cannot be broken. The focus of our faith is to respond to the covenant that Jesus made with us. Lord, help me to respond to the covenant you have made. When Jesus made this new covenant, it's upon his faithfulness more than our faithfulness. We say, okay, God, if you do this for me, I promise I'll never do that again. Well, now it's up to you to never do that again. But when God makes a covenant with us, it's on him. That's why when you sin and you even if you've blown it majorly, all you have to do is call on his name. And his mercy is right there. His grace is right there. His forgiveness is right there. He is faithful to this covenant that he made. Communion celebrates the covenant of God with us. So to end, what I'd like to do is read a little bit of the scripture about the communion and give me another 10 minutes. Will you give me another 10 minutes? 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. That's plenty. That'll do it. Okay. Luke 22, verses 14 through 23 in the New Living Translation. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. Now, we've heard this so many times. Let's see what God wants to teach us today. Jesus said, I have been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. For I tell you now that I won't eat this meal again until its meaning is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took a cup of wine and he gave it thanks to God for it. Then he said, take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come. He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and gave it to the disciples, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. After supper, he took another cup of wine and said, this cup is the new covenant between God first and his people. An agreement confirmed with my blood, which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. You could not have a covenant with God's people without the shedding of blood. And Jesus became a human and shed his blood for us. Well, how real is God's covenant with us? It depends on how real God is to you. We use these words, we need to see what they mean. Real in the dictionary. It means existing or occurring as fact. Actual rather than imaginary, ideal or fictitious. Using a sentence, a story taken from real life. That's been totally changed around in our educational system now, called postmodernism, where there's no real reality because of all the evolution and all the different, the ways things have combined for each of us. You know, just what's real for you. Until they want that check for the IRS, then they want the real thing. Being an actual thing, having objective existence, not imaginary. Using in a sentence, the events you will see in the film are real and not just made up. So we're talking about how real is God's covenant to us. Not just what we think it is, but what is it? Now, reality in the dictionary, and there's a part of it that says philosophically it means something that exists independently of ideas. Get that? Something that exists independently of ideas. This blows people away today. Well, it's not real to me, it's not real. If it's not true for me, it's not true. That's why they're living in la-la land. That's why anybody who doesn't live there and you hear them talk on TV and they say, what are you talking about? Something that exists independently of ideas concerning it. Something that exists independently of all other things and from which all other things derive. Reality. God's name came from the verb meaning to exist. Moses said, what's your name? He said, my name. And he said, the name, the Lord. 1961 in Strong's Concordance, if you want to look it up in Hebrew, it means I am. That's existence. Does God exist? He is existence. All other existence came from him. So how real is God? Depends on how real you're able to really see. We use the example, if he's love, how can you see love? How can you see love? And yes, well, we see it and what he's done. How has God been there for you when you needed him? We can trust his covenant. It says, I died for every one of your sins. And you don't have to live the same way you're always living. You can change. Well, that's just reality. Well, God's above that. Thank you very much. He gives us the faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things I can't see. When we celebrate communion, we're celebrating this covenant, this new agreement that God says, I'm going to be there for you no matter what. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I'll be there. I'm the one that's going to work everything together for good. It's beyond your understanding sometimes. You don't know why you're going through this thing, you're going through this thing, but I have a plan. Just trust me. Trust and believe. That's what faith is. Okay, in closing, before we do communion, God's covenant with us. Number one, it's a contractual or a contract commitment. A contract made by God between God and His people where, first of all, God is creator. Lord, what's that mean? He's boss. He's author of our free will. He gave us the free will to reject Him if we want to. He's our Savior, He's our healer, and He's our provider. That's part of the contract. That's part of the covenant. Number two, His covenant began with the Father. Jesus said, I only speak the words I hear from the Father. Jesus said, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. He's only going to speak what He's heard from me. One God, one word. His covenant began with the Father, is manifested through Jesus, and is held in place by the Holy Spirit. Number three, we have a choice whether or not to enter in or reject God's covenant that makes Jesus Lord, the Savior, over all who receive Him. Those who do not are outside the covenant, where Jesus said there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, being outside of God's goodness. You leave the light, you have to be in the dark. You leave the good, you're going to embrace evil. Number four, God commits to us first, then we must respond with our commitment by making Jesus Lord. Jesus already committed to us. He gave His life. He said, no greater love can a person have than he give his life for his friends. He's calling you his friend. And He gave His life. And we celebrate that. Every time we celebrate communion, we're celebrating the contract that God gave with us. This God who created all things. This God who designed all things and who most of all made us in His image and likeness and loves us with His full love. You can't ever get to the end of His love. You can be in heaven for eons and you'll never get to the end of His love. You'll never get bored with Him. He's just so good. He's so wonderful. And He said, it's hard to see that because the world has rejected Him. And it started with the rejection of Adam and Eve and the curse came upon creation and all that. But God had a plan from the beginning. He already knew we would fall. But He had to give us choice if we're going to be able to truly enjoy and receive His love. That's why we're going through all this. And now, here we are. This very well could be the generation that sees His return. Are we living life as if He doesn't even matter? Or are we living for Him 100%? God, I want to live for You. I want to just follow You, Lord. I'll leave you with this before we have communion. Philippians 2:13, New Living Translation. One of my favorites. For God is working in you. Say, God is working in me. And He's giving me the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. This is God's word. It's fact. It's reality. It's not someone's imagination. It's as real as anything can be. He's working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. And you can always remember this. You remember Philippians 2:13 because you remember Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So you got Philippians 2:13. So He not only does He give you power, but He can give you the desire. Lord, make my want to want to follow you. My want to is stupid, Lord. It just doesn't want to follow you. So I need help. Well, how do you get help? Lord, I pray your kingdom come, your will be done in my life. I need help, Lord. I change my mind, Lord. Create in me a new heart that won't run from you, but will run to you and will never allow the lies of the devil to separate me from you again. Before we have communion, I want to just have everyone bow your head just for a moment. I don't think it's possible to preach a message like this without giving somebody the opportunity to receive the free gift of Jesus Christ. Just while every head's bowed, just for a second.